Well, good morning, church family. I hope you all are well. And as you can tell, I'm not in my normal spot this morning. I'm in Tennessee at Brighton Baptist Church, where my dad pastors, where he grew up. And in this old auditorium, matter of fact, I think he came to know the Lord here. So this has a lot of memories for me. I wish you could see. There's a lot of stained glass windows. It's real pretty in this room. Many of you already know this, but if you don't know, my mom suffered a severe stroke last Sunday that only 80% of people, or actually 80% of people, don't actually survive. Last Sunday, when we got the phone call, we packed up. We drove to Tennessee preparing for the worst and, of course, praying for the best. Well, my mom actually made it to her house before we even got to her house. They released her from the hospital on Tuesday afternoon. She walked out fully aware, her same self. So, brothers and sisters, we have truly experienced a miracle this week, and we have spent the last few days laughing, rejoicing, and certainly not taking for granted each and every moment that we've had with her and my family. Every detail of last Sunday's events are full of God's sovereign care. I can't wait to share all of those details with you at various times. But hey, when I get back in town next week, certainly let's grab some coffee. I would love to tell you about the Lord's kindness towards us. Also, on behalf of my family and I, we want to thank you all so much. Many of you have texted, emailed, you've called, and through those, you have deeply encouraged my family and I, and my father, my brother, my mom, all of us. So we thank you so much for that, many of you that reached out. Just know that I love and I miss you all so very much. I look forward to gathering together next week. And so thank you all also for your understanding and patience and having to delay that gathering to the 14th. Now, I know I did this last week, but let me just kind of go through those details again just to kind of get us prepped and ready when we get back together on the 14th next Sunday. Now, we've been saying this a good bit, and it's just worth saying again. We acknowledge that there are a variety of opinions, and honestly, that's completely okay. But we all have to be willing to accept the different changes that are going to be in place as we return. Now, it's going to be weird. It's going to be awkward. It's going to make us feel uncomfortable. But we are the body of Christ, and we can sacrifice our opinions, our comforts, to accommodate and love the whole. So here are a few changes that we'll hold in place for the month of June. We'll reevaluate as we get closer to July. When you get there on Sunday, we're going to have the doors open, kind of limit touching of door handles. The foyer is going to be a little taped off to just encourage us to kind of move through the foyer, head into the auditorium, find your seats. When you get into the auditorium, we'll have a few seats taped off to try to give us a little bit of space between those seats. So once you get here, come on in, find a seat. And once you get seated, well, at that point, you can feel free to chat with those that are close to you. You can even yell at people across the auditorium, whatever it is you want to do. Just remember to keep a safe distance, respect each other's space as we gather together. So in light of that, we're going to hold off on handshakes, hugs, high fives. We're going to hold off on those for a while. Also work hard to keep our family units together. Bathrooms will be open in the foyer. As you head to the bathroom, you'll notice we'll have a couple pieces of tape down the hallway. The desire there is to just try to limit the amount of places that we go in the building. At the end of the service, you'll notice that out in the, just beyond the double doors of the auditorium, have a table out there with the offering plates. We'll receive offering that way. On that table as well, there will be hand sanitizer, as well as we'll have some masks there if someone wants to make use of. And speaking of masks, many of you, when we did our survey several weeks ago, you indicated that you're actually going to wear a mask. So I want to encourage you, don't hesitate. If that was something that that you had said that you were going to do, definitely do that, because many of you said that's something that you were going to do. But do know we'll have masks available for you as well. There will be no refreshments in the foyer, no coffee, just to kind of avoid any kind of cross-contamination, and also to help move us along into the auditorium. The gathering time, we're going to try to keep under an hour, just to kind of help limit that exposure. There will be no 9 a.m. Sunday studies for the month of June. Like I said, we'll reevaluate. There'll be no Desert Kids for the month of June as well, just to kind of help our workers and our kiddos just remain safe as we start to kind of get back in that regular rhythm again. So to reiterate, we will only have our 10 a.m. gathering for now. And like I said, we'll reevaluate as we get closer to July. For those of you who fall into a more vulnerable category and you don't feel quite comfortable yet gathering, we completely understand. We'll continue to live stream, which can be viewed on Facebook, much like this, or you can find that from our website as well. All of these things will be held in place for the month of June. So be looking for this week. Lord willing, sometime midweek, I'll probably put out another video just to go through these details again to get us all prepped and ready. Now, with all that said, I am super excited about gathering together again. So I look forward to that. I'm going to encourage you one last time, Lord willing, that this will be our last time on Facebook, at least in this kind of format. So do make use of that comment section like many of you have been doing. If you have any questions or comments or just say hello to one another, still do that as well. If you're visiting with us for the first time or stumbled upon our page, in that info section, there's a comment card. Click on that. Let us know how we could serve you or how we could be praying for you. We would love that opportunity to be praying or serving, like I said. But if there's any questions you have, certainly do make use of that. I have said this for what we're like 12 weeks, I think, that we have had this type of format because of all the restrictions. But I would encourage you that this week, probably more than all the previous weeks, I would really encourage you, it's going to be very important when this video is done, to sit down with your family. And maybe even today's text, I'm going to take just a few minutes and unpack to read that together as a family. There's just so much richness in that text that you might sit together, read that scripture together, pray about the things you learn, and then like we've been encouraging you to do, sing together. So check Facebook. There will be a playlist. We're not doing it in this format, just considering everything that has been going on. And thanks to Regina for putting that playlist. But check out Facebook. You can have that, play those, and sing together. Brothers and sisters, would you pray for me? You can pray for me, but let me pray for us as we dive into the text. Father God, we are grateful for this time this morning. Even though I'm so far away, I am just so grateful that we have these few moments together, that we could put this together, put it out there to try to help us still kind of be together in this moment. So I rejoice. There is so much on my mind, so many things in my heart, but one of the things that is so true of me right now is a gratefulness for your kindness over the last couple of days. And so I just rejoice in that. I'm thankful for it. I pray that you would take these next few moments and you would encourage us. We are grateful for what you have been doing in the valley and across the United States for many a churches, Lord, that have had to change things up, but yet their faith has been strengthened, and we rejoice in that, and we ask the truths that we learned during this time of not being together will stick with us and will continue to encourage us and strengthen us as your body. We pray for the many brothers and sisters across the valley, Lord, that you would be with the churches and encourage them. And Father, we ask now that you would come and just in these next few moments, and you would speak to us. Help us to love your wisdom more than our own. I think oftentimes when we have the most difficulty is when your wisdom, it doesn't really come in line with what we think should happen. And so in these next few moments, it's going to be important for us, Father. So I ask, Spirit, that you would come and soften our hearts to hear your wisdom and to love your wisdom more than our own. Help us to love your truths more than our opinions. Help you to become more glorious to us than anything that we could imagine. So, Father, would you encourage us? Would you help us? And would you be with us in these moments? So, Father, it's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. This morning, let me just take a few minutes to explain where we are headed in our series on Proverbs. And then I'm going to give you a couple thoughts on God's providence because Proverbs speaks a lot about it. Now, this particular week marks a transition in our series that we've been doing for several weeks now in the book of Proverbs. We have been working through the first 9 chapters, looking particularly at how the Father has been instructing His Son in wisdom. He's been telling His Son how wisdom works, the nature of wisdom, and He has reiterated over and over again, when it comes to wisdom, that fear of the Lord is most essential. He's made the Son aware that wisdom is primarily a heart issue. We looked real specifically last week at that. Now, as you get through those first 9 chapters, the remainder of Proverbs, chapter 10 through 31, are a collection of short, rememberable statements about how life works that have a little bit of kick to them. So we're going to shift and we're going to begin to look at various topics and issues that Proverbs speaks very directly towards. And we're going to do this by looking at the holistic teaching of Proverbs on any given topic, any given issue. Now, you might be wondering, well, why would we do this? Well, we do this because we need to grab a full teaching, a full understanding on each issue. So when we're done with Proverbs, after we interact with it, that we would actually be more wise and we would have better hearts. Because our tendency is to champion one side of an issue that we most agree with while neglecting our sinfulness around certain parts of the same issue. For instance, it might be easy or tempting to look at someone who is poor and see their unhealthy work ethic or to notice their unhealthy spending habits and champion the ideal that they deserve it. Because those who don't work, well, they don't eat. You can find plenty of Proverbs that would speak to that reality about life. But the problem is you might be missing the other side of the issue of wealth and poverty that reveals a little bit of sin in our hearts. For instance, perhaps your wealth has been gained through unethical business practices. Or you're consumed with how to get more, even if it means the mistreatment of others. You see, Proverbs addresses both and calls the lazy person to a better work ethic, but also calls the unethical wealthy person to righteousness. Well, brothers and sisters, and those who may have stumbled upon this, this is a wise approach to Proverbs. It is wise for us to let it address our hearts from every angle. But before we get into those specific actions here on out and what their outcomes might be in our life, let us start with an emphasis on God's providence. You may be wondering, why am I doing that? Well, because Proverbs comes back to it often when it's speaking on how we live, breathe, and act. Let me read Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 9. Now, if you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, certainly you can look at that as well. Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 9. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. Verse 9. The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. Now, I've been reflecting a lot over the last several days about God's providential care. And what I mean by providence is this. So listen to this. That God is continually involved with all created things. Let's let that sink in for a moment. That God is continually involved with all created things in such a way that He, one, keeps them existing. Secondly, that He cooperates with created things in every action, directing them and their distinctive properties to cause them to act as they do, and thirdly, directs them to fulfill His purposes. But at its most root level, God's providence is that He is continually involved with all created things in various ways. Now, I can understand. In one sense, there is a lot of comfort in that reality. But in a whole other sense, there is a lot of difficulty with it as well. But when one person, one individual, one family goes through big events in life, they need to reflect on the details as much as the outcome. Well, providence becomes a way to evaluate the many moving parts of our life, of the hard and joyous times of life. It's not necessarily a way to describe, but rather to evaluate. You may be thinking, well, what do I mean by that? What I mean is that all events for all people are never the same. It's unwise just to throw out the word providence or sovereignty without looking over the ways that God worked directly upon the events in one's life. We have to understand providence does not guarantee a certain outcome. What it does guarantee is that the things will in the end be used by God for His glory and our good. Now, our text this morning seems to make that very point and really plain for us. I don't know if you noticed this, but in verse 1 and 9 kind of serve like bookends. They kind of say the same thing, and they give us a clear sense of man's responsibility and God's providence. You see, man is free to plan. But they should do that all the while acknowledging God's providence to establish our ways in such a way to fulfill His overall purposes. You may be asking, well, why can God do this? Because He is sovereign. Sovereignty is closely related to providence because it is His sovereignty that gives Him the right. You hear that? It's His right to act this way. So it is God's sovereignty that gives Him the right to act providentially within the world and our lives. That's why the text can say, verse 1, the plans of the heart belong to man. Yeah, they belong to you. You're free to plan. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And then verse 9, and a bit of a repetition, it says, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes His steps because He can. He has every right to do that. You see, though God has the right, He's God, to act in a providential way. Here's the beauty of Proverbs. Proverbs teaches that we have a responsibility to act, to think, to make decisions, to fix plans. It doesn't let us get away with our responsibility, being haphazard with it. That's why it teaches us so much about wisdom. Though God has every act to act as He wants, or every right, rather, to act in a providential way, Proverbs still teaches us that we have a responsibility to act wisely, to think correctly, to make decisions honorable to the Lord, and to make plans that would honor Him. Now, I acknowledge that this is a delicate balance for us, isn't it? But God holds man's responsibility, His sovereignty, with no difficulty. It is only us and our limited understanding to where we grapple and wrestle, where the Lord holds them with no difficulty whatsoever. He acts providentially, and He requires man to be responsible over their actions. Hence the book of Proverbs. We should act in a certain way, that He will hold us responsible over our wise and unwise actions. So the encouragement as we make this transition is to, as we move into these specific issues and topics, we have to keep that in mind. Well, here's how one scholar put it. This is a great way. The human beings form the Lord performs. They devise, he verifies. They formulate, he validates. They propose, he disposes. They design what they will say and do, but the Lord decrees what will endure. You hear that? What will endure and form a part of his eternal purposes. See, God will bring our actions to his desired end. We're still called to act and to think and to breathe and do, but God will ensure that what endures and what will be a part of his purposes will last. Well, the text doesn't leave us hanging. It actually tells us various ways that we see his providence on display. One, he says that he knows our hearts. And because he knows our hearts, he will weigh the spirit behind all of our actions. You see, you can fool me and you can fool others all you want, but not the Lord. You can plan according to your selfish intentions. Well, you're free to do that. Though it might seem as if you're getting away with it and that God's providence, oh, it doesn't extend to your actions or your speech. But all of that, be aware, works towards an end that will indeed fulfill the purposes of the Lord. He will see to it. So our best response is like verse 3. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. You see, this is man's responsibility to act wisely, to do the things that would honor the Lord. And God's providence is continually working with created things. This verse holds them in perfect harmony. Commit your work to the Lord, which assumes you're doing something. Yes, do something. Commit it unto the Lord, and he will establish your ways. You see, we are not what some might call fatalistic. And what does that mean? Thinking that what we do does not matter. We see it in Proverbs. Obviously, it matters. Or we are not deterministic, meaning that anything that we do does not have impact on our moment-by-moment lives or have impact on our experience. We know that not to be true. That is not how God's providence works in the way that we live. Well, maybe I could give this analogy. I believe God to be in control. I'm really okay with that. And honestly, I depend on that. It gives me a lot of comfort. But when I get behind the steering wheel of my car, I actually put my hands on it. I make decisions to turn here, to stop there, to go this way, to go that way, all the while trusting the Lord's sovereign care over me and my life to providentially get me to where I need to be. For instance, just this week, my mom needed to be in a Target, having a severe stroke in wide open view of everyone. We all would agree it's not most optimal, not where you want to have this traumatic event. But it was needed because that meant a trauma nurse out with her husband was able to see her from the moment she went down in my brother's arms. This sweet lady helped my brother, got her husband, because she knew exactly what was happening, to call 911 immediately. And everyone knows every second counts in these matters. I don't use God's providence to describe, but to evaluate what happened, because it was a miracle and how God moved. Now, but I have to be honest, if the outcome was different, well, I would have to sort through it differently, evaluating each moment, evaluating each piece over against man's responsibility and God's providence. Well, secondly, we see God's providence according to the text here is that nothing escapes the Lord. Listen to verse 4. The Lord has made everything for his purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. verse 4 acts kind of like a quick summary, and it moves into more details on how nothing escapes him. God's providence is equally at work, his, as one scholar said, in all these areas. There is no sphere in which he is less in control or less interested than in some other sphere. And I love the summary that this particular commentator gave. There are no no-go areas for the Lord, even wickedness. Though for a time evil seems to win in the end, God's sovereignty will be seen in his providential punishment of evil. This, God's providence, elicits comfort for the weary and tired soul that cannot take any more evil acts, that cannot take any more hatred and unfair treatment. You see, Proverbs seems to say that, sure, some things look as if they will go unnoticed, that they will go unpunished when justice needs to be served. Be assured, that's actually the word it uses, God's providence guarantees justice will prevail in the end. Well, another way that God's providence is seen most glorious is in verse 5. Listen to this. Or actually verse 6, rather. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. Brothers and sisters, you have to understand, in any conversation about our atonement, God's act, what is atonement? That's God's act in dealing with our sin. Or we might could say it this way, making us righteous before the Lord, we better think on God's providence. Our salvation is a display of God's providential, sovereign care because he does what we cannot do. He establishes within himself our means to be right with him. And you have to understand, no event of life alters his providential care in our salvation. Whatever the outcome, whether it's joyous or tragic, sin is atoned for by the steadfast love and faithfulness of Christ. Though earthly troubles befall us, and their outcomes can at times be traumatic, it does not change the providential care of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we might draw from this, and I have drawn from this deeply over the last couple of days, that we can rest in God's providential care over us. We don't rest in outcomes. We don't rest in possibilities. But we rest in the sure and glorious, gentle care of a sovereign God who looks over us. We do not rest in outcomes, but in a God who is sovereign, who has the right to work within our lives to providentially bring about his desired purposes. Now, we're going to spend lots of time in the coming weeks, strongly encouraging us all to commit our ways to the Lord, to do something, to work, to make decisions, to plan, and to be wise, all the while trusting in his providence to help us arrive just where you need to be. Even now, in this moment, some of you perhaps have stumbled upon this video. I trust in God's good, sovereign, providential care that he intended for you to be in this moment. To hear that he has established the means by which we are saved. Why? Because he's sovereign. And in his providential care for his people, he has provided the means by which we are saved in the person and work of Christ. So to commit our ways to that is in faith and repentance to trust. And he certainly will establish our salvation upon the person and work of Jesus. Nothing alters that. we can rest in God's providential care. This moment I stand before you rejoicing because God's sovereign care has caused us to travel here and rejoice. And we are grateful for His kindness, and we see His hand at every angle of last Sunday. And we rejoice in that, knowing that we don't rejoice in the outcome alone, but the sovereign hand of God who providentially worked so that we in this moment could rejoice. Brothers and sisters, we rest in God's providential care over us as we pursue wisdom, as we act, as we live, as we breathe. Well, the great theologian Calvin says, certainty about God's providence helps us all in adversities. Doesn't it? Doesn't it, though? Spurgeon put it this way, there is no attribute more comforting to his children than that of God's sovereignty. Under the most adverse circumstances, in the most severe trials, they believe that sovereignty has ordained, the sovereign one has ordained their afflictions, that sovereignty overrules them, and that sovereignty will sanctify them all. Praise the Lord. There is assurance that God is active and present. Isn't that a glorious thing to consider? Is that Proverbs just comes to the assumption and the belief and the assurance that God is indeed active and present. You and I are acting and breathing and living. Nothing escapes His eyes. Nothing escapes His ears. And nothing, hear me clearly, brothers and sisters, and those watching this, nothing escapes His care. Rest in God's sovereign and providential care over you. If you have any further questions, or I know a message like this brings up more questions oftentimes than answers, certainly reach out. Fill out that connection card. I trust that the Lord will bring us safely back home next week. We plan to leave here on Monday morning and make the long trek back home. So do please be in prayer for us. Would you pray with me? Father God, I am grateful for these moments. I know that the things that we have discussed in just this short amount of time are weighty, sometimes hard to sort through. But let us hold in a joyous way. Let us hold up your providential care over our lives all the while we are working, we are desiring, we are acting, we are doing things to honor you, all the while trusting in your care over us. Father, might you, even in the midst of difficulty, might you bring us comfort in these truths, knowing that even in the hardest and most painful moments, there you are. Because everybody's outcomes are different. Everybody's situation is different, and you work uniquely as you see fit because you are sovereign in our lives. But in the end, we can trust that you will bring about your purposes and what is best. So we trust in that this morning. And I particularly rejoice in that this morning. Father, if you would just continue to stir our hearts around this truth, continue to draw us closer to your wisdom and trust in that. Father, I love you, and I thank you for these moments. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, we'll see you next Sunday. Be looking for a video this week at some point. We'll explain more of the details, but I cannot thank you, church family, enough for your prayers and all of your encouragement this week. So grace and peace.